And I wanted to say welcome and thank you for being here at the very time that I'm going to move the podium back. I'm doing something that almost never happens. And I have a reason for doing that. I promise you, my kindergarten teacher will be proud of me because I'll put it back when I'm done. I'm glad that you're here to share. I've come up before you tonight. I've been up since 2, so it feels like night. I went to bed early because we changed our clocks last night. I went to bed too early. I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. But I've come to you this morning with nothing but this book. In fact, this is one of the pew Bibles from the pews here in our auditorium. If you don't happen to have a Bible with you, I invite you to grab one of these if you want to. If you have your own Bible, we're going to be reading from one specific portion of the Bible this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want anything to detract from this book. Now, we know that this book is not magical in its way, but it is our communication with God. We love Him through His Word. And so I want to make sure that I emphasize that this morning. We're going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12. If you want to turn there, that's where our reading, thank you, Donnie, came from this morning. Donnie read from the English Standard Version, which is what I asked for. Many of you use the ESV, but this is the Pew Bible, which happens to be the 1984 edition of the New International Version, which is what I'll be reading out of. So again, if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, your words and mine will match up in English. Not all of the English translations read exactly the same, and that's okay. But before we do that, I want to fulfill a part of Romans 12 before we even read Romans 12, and that is for us to share some prayer time together. As you know, as a congregation, we have entered into 40 days of prayer in preparation for the arrival of Susie and Mark Jameson, their arrival coming up 3 weeks from today, 21 days. I want to pray about that. Pray with me, if you will, please. Father, we do pray for Susie and for Mark. We pray for their transition from where they live now to coming and being with us here in Gainesville. We pray that that will be a smooth and enjoyable transition for them. We pray that you'll help us to be alert to whatever needs we might be able to fulfill as they do arrive. Above all of those things, Father, our 40 days of prayer, we are praying that you will help each one of us and everyone in the Gainesville area to continue to have, to perhaps for the first time have open hearts to hear through your word, your voice speaking to us, just as will happen 3 weeks from today when Mark speaks with us in person for the very first time here as our pulpit minister. We are so excited about these things that are happening. We ask your blessings on them and your blessings on us and our open hearts that allow us to hear you through the things that you tell us in your word. We tell you all of this in the name of Jesus. And the congregation says, amen. By the way, amen is the word that means so be it. I want you to be careful. Don't say amen if you don't mean it. Because the Bible says that's telling a lie. And I don't want anybody to lie this morning. I want us to be together in honesty and openness. But we're not done praying yet. This past week that we just finished is a pretty remarkable week. It marks 360 some odd days of lockdown. And the congregation says, boo. I don't want you to say amen to that. Please no. I'm there with you. I'm tired of being locked down. We're so close. We're so close to dealing with these diseases. But I want you to hear something as we go into another prayer. This world is not our home. What does the song say? We are just a passing through. And this particular virus is just a passing through. But I'm going to tell you a secret, and I know you're going to be excited to hear this. After a year of being locked down, there will be more. I've got folks worried I'm going to knock the plants over. I'll be careful, I promise. There will be more that happens in this world that is going to inconvenience you and challenge you and cause you to wonder about the God in our heaven. COVID-19 isn't the only one. And I know even during this year, there have been those of you who have dealt with other physical issues like cancer and other deadly diseases that we still face in our world. If you think that once we overcome COVID-19, and I believe we are with vaccinations, that when the day comes when we can all go without masks, if you think that's going to be the day of bliss, you and I need to talk. Like my boys one day when they were little, they came up to me and they told me about a thing that had happened. My son Matthew especially. He said, "Dad, this thing happened and it's just not fair." And I immediately looked at them and said, "We have got to go and find that person who told you that life was always going to be fair, because that person lied to you. It's a lie if you think that this world is going to be the place where you find total, complete satisfaction and happiness. Now, there are a lot of good things in this world, a lot of good people and a lot of good things, but this world is not our home. And if you're looking for your home here, you're not going to like what I'm about to read to you in Romans chapter 12. Because Romans chapter 12, much like 1 Corinthians 13, anybody remember how we identify 1 Corinthians 13? It is the love chapter. Oh, I love that so much. I do. Hebrews 11, that is the faith chapter. Well, I want you to add a new one to your list. Now, it's not as pretty as the one syllable of love and faith, but you ready? Romans chapter 12 is the kingdom living faith chapter. Romans 12 is not about living in this world. Romans 12 is about getting ready for our real home. Are you ready to read with me? In Romans chapter 12. By the way, we're not done with the prayers yet, so keep your Bible right there. I want to pray about the pandemic. Pray with me. Father, we are tired. We are tired of facing this physical illness. We pray that you would remove it from our midst and to help us to do the wise and right things, that it can be eradicated or at least controlled. But I also pray to you, Father, about those who are struggling with and are tired of cancer and diabetes and leukemias and all of these other things, that you, Father, would help us to have strength to endure. We are tired, but we are not worn out because of you. And we thank you for your strength and your direction and your love that you give us. We tell you this in the name of Jesus. And the congregation says, amen. But I'm not done praying yet, because this was also a week in which we were reminded, I was at least reminded, about two specific deaths. You may have think of others. I was reminded this week about the death of Breonna Taylor. I was also reminded this week about the death of George Floyd. And both of those deaths, and there are many others that we could talk about, are a reminder of what I've already said. This world is not our home. This world is imperfect, and there are times when people hurt other people and bad things happen to people, even when intentions are good. And I don't know about these things. I know how hard it is to live amongst other people in this world, and it's always been a challenge. But I want to pray about that. So pray with me yet again. Father, we pray for justice in this world. We pray that you would help us to treat other people fairly and rightly and lovingly. That you would help us to respect one another. And that you would help us to live in peace. But Father, we're reminded that this world is broken and that you help us through these things so that we can find our way to you, where perfect justice is found and perfect righteousness, and perfect peace. May we look to you even while we face the terrible, difficult things of this world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And the congregation says, amen. Now, if you said amen, remember what I said. You're agreeing. I wish this was a perfect world. In fact, it was a perfect world. Go back and read Genesis chapter 1, and it was a perfect creation until sin came. And so even today, yet, we deal with sin. But what I'm about to share with you is beyond sin. What I'm about to share with you is beyond this world, because we are going to talk in the remaining time this morning, and I planned enough time for prayers and the rest. Oh, by the way, your tummy thinks that it's really only 10:10 right now. I know that our clock in the back here, I'm watching it, I promise, says it's about 11:10, but your stomach thinks it's really only about 10:10. And so I've really got to 1 o'clock on the clock before your tummy catches up with daylight saving time. So I hope you brought a snack. In Romans 12, Paul wants to lift you and me up beyond this world, beyond our problems, beyond the difficulties, beyond every influence that sin has, to lift us up into the presence of God. He says, in light of God's mercy, this is verse 1, I urge you, therefore, in light or in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I hope you were at least saying that in your brain, and I hope you're reading along with me. You see, the Old Testament was all about dead sacrifices, but the New Testament is about living sacrifices. This is the kingdom living, where life is no longer taken. It isn't that life is given, but rather life is given. By the way, I don't want to pick on anybody this morning, but I want to say to you parents that are here with your children, I am thrilled. I am thrilled that you are here. And the congregation says, amen. We need little ones. We need little ones to be brought up in the admonition of the Lord. And if that means there's an occasional little cry out, hey, I had twin sons. My guys did plenty of that. You weren't there on those days, but I'm sure glad you are here on this day. Amen indeed. Do not conform any longer to this world. Verse 2. Do not conform. But instead, what's the verb? To be transformed, to be changed. Are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to be different? Do you realize in the book of Acts that there were people who didn't want to see these disciples of Jesus come to their towns because they said, these are the people that are turning the world upside down. If you give your allegiance to Jesus, you are accepting an upside down way of living. Because almost everything that the world says is good, God says is useless. Almost everything that the world says is important, God says is of no value. And to be honest with you, most of the things that the world ignores and says are not for you are the very things that God calls us to be about. And they're right here in this 12th chapter. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, verse 3, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Well, I don't know about you, but in our world, the only way to get ahead is by self-promotion, right? It's all about marketing and about me making myself look good, even if that means I have to step on you and 27 other people to get there. Paul says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And obviously, our standard is the perfection of God. So, of course, all of us need to be humble. But I want to do one little twist, because I'm afraid that in God's kingdom, people are as inclined not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But when it comes to your talents and your abilities and your opportunities, do not think more lowly than you ought to think. I'm convinced that people are more likely to underestimate their ability to serve God throughout this world than they are to overestimate. I believe God wants us to think big and to do big and to be loving and to do all of it humbly. How big are your plans for God's work in your life? My guess is they're not big enough. And how disappointed God is when we set plans that are much smaller than what he would have us to do. Jump down to verse 9. By the way, chapter 12, the part that I'm not reading out loud, and you're going to have an opportunity to read it for yourself later today, that it's a parallel passage to 1 Corinthians 12. So just put that in the back of your brain, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Both talk about how we are all like a human body, but especially in the church, and how we all work together by fulfilling different needs. But the overriding factor is in verse 9, and I want to make sure I get here. Romans 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now, I would hope you would stop and be a little bit startled by that word hate. Again, I'm reading out of the New International Version. Hate what is evil. And I want to be very careful about this. It does not say hate who is evil. It says hate the evil. Hate what is evil. We love everybody, but we do not necessarily agree with all the decisions that people make. Jump down to verse 14. And again, the parts I'm skipping, you'll get to enjoy later on today, and I'll tell you in a moment how to do that. I believe these are some of the hardest words for us as Christians to hear. My bulletin article today, if you read the front of the bulletin, and maybe you'll take that with you or enjoy it from our digital version that was sent out on Friday, it says that being a Christian is both easy and hard, and I believe that. It's easy because God has given us everything that we need, but it's hard because putting it into practice is such a challenge. I'm just going to read, and you decide whether these are words that you are willing to commit to. You ready? Romans 12, verse 9. Excuse me, verse 14 is where I wanted to go. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. COVID-19 has given us 500,000 reasons to mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it's possible. I hesitate to read verse 19. It's almost as if Paul is getting harder and harder in the things that he calls us to do here. Again, I ask you, are you ready for these words? Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Now, we've been looking on Sunday mornings at this idea of grace and the idea that we understand it more and more as we go on. So I want to make sure that I say to you plainly, you will know more next week than you know this week about the will of God. You'll know more next year than you know this year. And so our understanding of God grows and grows. But I want you to take these words seriously, even today, even in our limited ability to understand. On the contrary, Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, you give him something to drink. In doing this, Paul says, well, I'm going to interpret this last bit. In doing this, you will be revealing the love of God in a way that is either going to soften that heart or it's going to harden that heart. There is no middle ground. When people show the love of God, it either leads to submission or it leads to defiance. It either leads to love or it leads to hate. And there isn't much middle ground there. If your enemy is hungry, you feed him. And if your enemy is thirsty, you give that person something to drink, and that person will respond either favorably or unfavorably. And for those for whom it's unfavorable, it is almost as if burning coals are being poured on the head. Not that you do it, but your good works cause that in the hardened hearts of people. I would wish that everybody would respond positively. I'm hoping this morning some of you will respond positively. But our task is not to force people in how they make a decision, but to let them know that a decision is needed. Do not be overcome by evil, Paul finally says, but overcome evil with good. Later today, when you're with other people, or even if you're by yourself, take your Bible back out, reread all of Romans 12, and ask yourself what it means to you as a kingdom participant with God. What does it mean to you to fulfill these things that Paul calls all Christians to fulfill? You will be closer to knowing the love of God and doing the love of God than perhaps you are right now. All I have to bring to you this morning is the God who wrote this book. You see, it isn't just the book. You do realize that there is a day when we will set this book down and we won't need it anymore. Anybody know what that day is? Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, now it's as if we see God kind of dimly. We see him as clearly as we can through these written words, but we will eventually see him face to face. And on that day, we can take this book and put it down because we will know God in his fullness face to face. Until then, this is what we have to offer you. The voice of God in written form to show us how to live our lives. I want you to fall in love with the God who authored this book. Not just the book, but the God who authored this book. But if you love somebody, you're going to want to know what they say. If you love your spouse, you're going to listen carefully and you're going to try to fulfill whatever the needs are. And what this book tells me, what Romans 12 tells me, is that I have to live at a standard higher than this world. As I said before, this world is not where we intend to be forever. We're here for a little bit, and then we're gone. This world is not our home. We are truly just passing through. How will you live your life? To what will you be dedicated? Even better question, to whom will you be dedicated in your life? And I recommend to you the author of this book, the God of peace who says he can give us a peace that passes understanding, a God of love who sincerely seeks you to be his child. Well, that's my lesson. I told you my kindergarten teacher taught me well. One of the things my kindergarten teacher taught me, what'd your kindergarten teacher teach you? When you use something, you put it back. I didn't want anything to be between you and me. I even thought about moving the flowers. Marilyn would have preferred I did because she was worried three different times that I was going to knock it over. And I may do it yet. Mrs. Mitz was her name, by the way. That was my kindergarten teacher. She taught me well. I hope you've been taught well. I hope you've had loving parents and that you've had experiences that would call you to draw close to the God of creation. He reveals himself as our Father. We even pray to him that way. We say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And here's his message of love to us. Will you come to the God who authored this? Will you come to the God who calls us to kingdom living beyond what the world tells us is possible? We always sing a song to give you an opportunity to respond. It's going to show up on the screen in just a minute. This particular song talks about how we walk with God and how he sets the pace in our lives, how he sets the direction, how he sets our steps. Won't you respond as we stand and sing together?